since I spent my youth jumping off a limestone into water and never ever carved it, there's something really cool about coming back and actually doing something productive with it.
Jim Adams isn't one of the original cast members of the 1979 coming-of-age film Breaking Away. Rather, a Hoosier-born artist based in Hillsborough, North Carolina. He's come back to Indiana to participate in the 13th annual Indiana Limestone Symposium, held every June on the grounds of the Bybee Stone Company in Ellettsville. He was spending this rainy June morning under a tent chiseling an abstract form from the gray rock.
Yeah, I've got two different air hammers. I use hand tools, the bushing hammer. Pretty traditional stuff, right?
Limestone is a relatively new medium for Jim, so he seeks out direction and feedback from the others at the symposium.
This pod is going to be separated from this, and I'm wondering if I should not wait until the last minute to do it, or if I should just go ahead and separate.
You have enough mass here,
okay,
so that you could, you know, sink your blade in here and knock it back.
I
you're fine.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to knock that guy off of there. If I did, it wouldn't be the end of the world. But
only if you took your real big hammer and went at it.
Right.
So.
Amy Breyer knows a lot about how limestone performs, having worked as a traditional limestone carver for such projects as the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York. Amy was an MFA student at Indiana University when she hatched the plan for the symposium.
I'd seen symposiums in Europe, and I met Frank Young because he was a stone carver, and one day I just said, "Hey, Frank, how come there's no symposium here?" And he said, "I've thought that myself. Let's do it."
In addition to being a stone carver, Frank Young was also the executive director of the Bloomington Area Arts Council at the time. The idea of the symposium dovetailed nicely with the council's mission.
You know, we were trying to expand the role of the arts in the community and reach out to more dimensions of art in this area. And limestone is such a key component of the history of South Central Indiana, such an important part of our economy and the industrial base of our areas.
The next step was to find a site for the event.
We came over to Bybee Stone Company and told Will we had this idea, and he said, "Sounds great." And so five people 13 years ago out here in mud up to our ankles.
These days, there are many more participants, ranging from novices to professional stone carvers. Tim DeChristopher is one of the latter. Having met Amy in New York while they both worked on St. John the Divine, the Massachusetts resident came to the symposium to teach a few sessions.
I was very curious about the limestone country. So many buildings, the Empire State Building, came from these quarries and, you know, parts of the cathedral and so on and so forth. So much of New York came from Indiana. So I had to see it. I've just never seen the source.
One of the reasons that the cultural landscape around here is distinctive is that this is the only place in the United States, or indeed the only place in the world, that you have this particular kind of high-quality stone.
Laurel Cornell is associate professor in Indiana University's Department of Sociology, School of Fine Arts, and Department of East Asian Languages and Cultures.
It comes out of the ground basically in a very short line, starting up near Steinsville and then going down south to Bedford through Bloomington and Ulitic and those other places. And the stone veld is very, very narrow. It's only 2 miles wide in some places, 10 miles wide in other places, where the stone comes up from underneath the ground close enough to the surface that you can remove the overburden and just quarry the stone right there.
The origins of this rich vein of what's known as Bedford, Salem, or Ulitic limestone go back 300 million years. Brian Keith is a senior scientist with the Indiana Geological Survey.
Most limestone is formed in warm marine or ocean environments, sort of like the Bahamas today. And I think that's what was going on here at the time of the Salem. And you had a long period of time of relatively uniform, very shallow, warm water ocean conditions. And it's actually made up of tiny little shells. And they just accumulated here for a long period of time without major interruptions and were able to build that very uniform deposit.
Fast forward to the 19th century, when settlers in the southern Indiana Hill Country started turning to the natural resource as a building material. Laurel Cornell explained.
The first organized quarry opened in Steinsville in 1827, And Winthrop Foote started quarrying around Bedford about the same time. But really, there wasn't very much commercial traffic until the time that the railroad came up from Louisville going towards Chicago so that you could move this material, this heavy material, from Bloomington and Bedford up to other markets in Chicago, Cincinnati, St. Louis, New York, Washington, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, all those other places. What we've taken out of the earth here has really shown up all along the East Coast, New York, Washington, D.C., some large number of state capitals. It's really the major material for most civic architecture in the United States pretty much from 1870 up to about 1940 or 1950.
Efforts underway since the late 1970s to raise greater awareness about the limestone heritage of South Central Indiana have resulted in this year's inaugural observance of Indiana Limestone Month, a series of lectures, tours, and exhibitions which, along with the Limestone Symposium, are scheduled to occur every June.
In the long term, we would like to do something like develop an Indiana Limestone Heritage Area, where we would have a whole variety of different activities that would talk about the heritage of this industry, but also advance the industry as it currently exists.
In the meantime, chisels are flying on the grounds of the Bybee Stone Company, where some of the mill workers are helping a symposium participant learn how to create what's known as a rock face finish, a hand-fashioned surface that suggests a stone in its natural state.
It's just something you kind of have to learn by doing it. I started a couple years ago, and what I've learned, I've kind of shown him a little bit, and it just takes a little while to get used to.
Josh Cooksey and his co-worker Chris Sykes have been part of Indiana's limestone economy for a long time. Chris explained.
I've been around it my whole life, like depending on if it was a rock quarry or limestone. So I've been in a limestone for about 8 years myself, so I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else, really.
Those who attend the Limestone Symposium, on the other hand, often spend much of their lives doing something entirely different. Briar Fraser is the carver to whom Chris and Josh introduced the rock face technique. Briar's day job is being a probation officer in Bloomington.
So I took vacation time from work, and I actually worked some extra teaching some classes, some substance abuse classes, so that I can earn the money to come.
Do you like limestone carving because it's totally different from what you do at work?
It is. It's a completely different part of my brain. I can see immediate results. And sometimes things still break, just like at work. But, yeah, I love it. It's satisfying. So I can feel new brain cells forming all the time, new pathways.
For WFIU, I'm Yael Cassander.